Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable, officially for December 2017, even though we're recording this January 6, 2018. But here we are. We've got a good show today because we've been talking about stories already, which is exciting. So quickly, I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, Jamie?
What is up, yo?
And then on this month's roundtable, we also have our boy Cabbage. What's up, Cabbage?
Hello.
We also have Josh. What's up, Josh?
Hey, great to be here.
And then, of course, Chad is here as well. How you doing, Chad?
Since we got Cabbage, why don't you just call me the Devil's Lettuce this month?
Devil's Lettuce.
Yeah, the Devil's Lettuce. That's just call me DL for short this month. We'll try that one.
Wait. I have a better name. It's Sour Diesel. Because you're sour.
I don't know. I'm salty. Salty. Let's get salty in there.
I actually like Sour Diesel. That's pretty good.
That one's
weird. There you go. Whoever you are, you have a good story that you are apparently going to share with us. So our topic for this week is a little bit of everything. What we've been playing. We might talk some Star Wars. But we're going to start with Chad telling us a story about his Xbox One X. So go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, so, you know, I pre-ordered that awesome Project Scorpio edition, and, you know, I spent quite a bit of time when I got it in, about mid-November, setting it up and putting all the games on and doing all that awesome stuff, and then since, haven't really had time to play it, because everything that my whole stack of games was PS4 for the most part, but I picked up some like party games for New Year's and to play with my kids, like Jeopardy and things like that. So New Year's Eve rolls around and I go to turn on my Xbox One X. And total gameplay wise, I probably got about 6 hours, maybe eight into it, since other than copying games and everything. And I'm getting no video signal. So I'm like, and I have it all on an HDMI switch because I got all the game systems and I just don't have enough HDMI plugs for that and a cable box and a million other things.
First world problems.
I know, right? I mean, come on, I got the Wii U, the Switch, the PS4 Pro, the Xbox One X, and the cable box. I just don't have enough. So it's on an HDMI switch. So I'm like, fuck, the switch is having problems. So I'm, instead of paying attention to my guests that are at my house, I'm down in the thing trying to figure out what's going on. And I turn on my PS4 Pro, my switch, and it's all working. So I'm starting to get frustrated that I'm getting no video output from my new 500 and, you know, plus tax system. So I pull it out and I take it in my bedroom and I plug it in place where the Xbox One S is, and still no video or anything, you know, plugged directly in. But then the Xbox One S fires right up. So now I'm getting more upset. So I then proceed to get on chat New Year's Eve, again, avoiding my guests, with because I'm pissed like this. The very expensive thing is not turning on. And so they, of course, through chat, they make me go through the same rigmarole. Have you tried a different HDMI? Have you done this? Have you turned that? And I still do all of it. And they go, well, sounds like it's broke. You're going to have to send it in. And I just click on. I was pissed. I click. And now I'm just mad. So I unplugged the whole thing and I'm Googling everything and my wife's like, wow, so your New Year's Eve is just ruined, right? Like, you're not going to enjoy any time with us. I'm like, nope, I'm fucking pissed. So I'm just going, I'm sitting on the couch while they're, I actually pulled the One S in the living room, which works great, by the way. And they're playing Jeopardy. They're playing Jeopardy and stuff on that. So that was fine. But I'm on the message boards. I'm on Reddit reading how the Project Scorpio edition has done this more than one time. And I wait. Target the next morning opens at 8 a.m. I'm standing outside with my One X packed up. Project Scorpio edition, like shedding a tear. Like I'm trying to figure out, like, What do I do? Because I'm not getting this back. Those are the stories that I kept reading, was it's dead and it's gone. Like, even if I send it into Xbox, they're not going to send me a Project Scorpio edition back. They fish out, you know, another one and send it to you, and there's no Project Scorpio editions to send out. So I go into Target and I start to get the runaround because it's been like 40 days instead of 30. And I'm like, let's call over a manager, you know, let's see what we can do. And she gives me there's just nothing we can do, sir. Our system just won't let us, you know, we can call customer support. And then they finally call customer support. First, they tell me to go fuck myself and call customer support at home. To which I didn't. And then finally the manager says, let's call and help him out. Thanks. You know, someone who spent $800, including games, for on this whole package. Let's help him out and make a phone call for him. So then they call, and even that guy gets frustrated with the person that they got in the Philippines, who has no idea what the fuck they're doing other than to answer the phone on New Year's Day. And then he hangs up and he goes, okay, well, we're just going to do this with your driver's license. And I'm thinking like, okay, I'm glad we're finally through this, but why the fuck didn't we just do that in the first place? So right now, if you buy a new 1X, you get PUBG for free. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm losing the Project Scorpio edition, so maybe I'll at least get PUBG. So we go back there and I go, okay, PUBG is free. Oh, I'm sorry, we're out of PUBG. And the guy with the F-bombs I've been dropping knows that's the wrong thing for them back there to have said to me. And he goes, just pick out any game you want and I'll take care of it. So I finally got a free guy. I picked out, what's the new South Park, Fractured Butthole. And it came, yeah, I mean, I was fractured and they made me whole. And then it came with Stick of Truth. And you know what? So I got both South Park games and I spent, and I actually got a 4 terabyte drive to put on it. So
nice.
And I proceeded to spend the next 2 days re-downloading and installing everything. So I've been playing Stick of Truth, and you know what? We'll talk about that on Games We're Playing. But yeah. It was just a whole fucking thing. Thank you. Thanks for my goddamn evening.
Chad.
What?
I almost feel bad for you.
You know what?
Like, I almost feel bad. Like, I'm almost there. But mostly, I just think it's really funny.
It's really funny.
it's so ridiculous. Like, I was so supportive of it, and then I just got fucked in the ass. Like, thanks so much. Like, they didn't give a shit. Like, they were like, well, hey, we'll process a return. We'll repair it to you. When am I going to get that back? Like, I don't know.
You have to look on the bright side. After all of that, you have to finish that story off with the punchline, which is you now tell everyone, I now have an X Xbox One X.
Yes, there you go.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Also, Microsoft going to be Microsoft. That's what I have to say about that. I mean, I'm really not surprised at all to hear that a lot of people are having those problems. It's just kind of typical with console releases for them.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
It is.
It sounds like a happy end to the story, though, which is good.
Hey, I'm only a few hours into the use on this one, so let's knock on wood.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point. Yeah, we wish you well, Sam. Well, thank you for sharing. That was a good story.
Wow. I feel like we all need therapy after that.
Right. All right, so let's talk about what everybody's been playing then. Hey, Cabbage, how about we start with you?
Sure. So I do want to say real quick, because I know you guys talked about it. Speaking of PUBG, I think you said in one of your last episodes you played a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, I finally played it too, and for the longest time I was kind of I don't know. It looks like it's a fad or whatever. I got it on console because nobody that I know who wanted to play it was on PC, sadly. So I got it on console. They finally put it on the Xbox. And the the game is a huge technical mess. I mean, it is just really bad with the rubber banding, and the game crashes a lot, and there's all kinds of problems. But when the game runs stably enough and you're in there with friends, it is really insanely fun. Like, it's kind of a mixture between how fun it is to get to the end and win, which I have been able to do a few times, and it's like exhilarating to do that, because I'm assuming, as you know, like that circle on the map keeps closing, and you have to stay in that map or you die, or in that circle, so you die. And so when you get to the end of a match and there's only, like, you can see how many people are alive, there's 10 people alive, and it's you and your team, you don't really know where anybody is, you're just trying to hunker down, and, oh, where's the zone closing? It gets really intense. When you finally win games, it's great. But then there's the other side where the game is just such a cluster all of the time that it's almost just fun for it to go. When it goes bad, it can go really bad, and it can just be funny. Like, and it maybe just depends on what kind of gamer you are, but I honestly have as much fun or more fun sometimes if I'm playing a game with friends and it's just kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, oh, this is just a complete, like, everything went bad. Oh, we got surrounded by this team, and I was reloading, and you needed to heal, and you hit the wrong button. You know, just like everything goes bad, and then it's just hilarious. So it's kind of, if that at all sounds fun to you, and you're one of the few people that still haven't played it, I would say, yeah, try it. But I will say one other thing is that I did try more of Fortnite, which they have their Battle Royale. And I kind of have to say that even though there's a lot of things that PUBG does that I would like to have in Fortnite, I think Fortnite is a more enjoyable experience. It's also a more stable experience. On console and PC, I have almost no rubber banding. I haven't been disconnected. It's a much more smooth experience. There's just a lot of other things it does mechanically with how you mess with your inventory and stuff that just feels more fluid and better in Fortnite, but it's not as skill-based as PUBG. So the reward of winning in PUBG feels much greater because it feels so much harder to do.
The interesting thing to me about PUBG is, and what got me sort of into it, is I watched a friend of mine play. I posted on the website that he was raising money for sick kids, like, in the hospital, and he played PUBG for the better part of a day. And the thing that that I really enjoy about it is that you're walking around, you're walking around for, like, 20 minutes, and you don't see a soul, and you're picking stuff up, and then you think you're doing good, and the zone is shrinking, and you're moving toward the center, and then some dude with a sniper rifle that you don't even see just takes you out. And you don't ever know when that's going to be. And I can see how that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, when you're playing with friends, and if it's people you play a lot with, and you kind of know how each other plays, and you know how to make call-outs and stuff, it feels really cool. Like, it just feels kind of badass to, like, move through the environment and be like, oh, I think I saw a guy at 300 Northwest, and then you're all hunkering down a building, and then you're like, oh, wait, what do we got in here? But, like, it's you're just constantly on your toes, and it's just really fun to, especially when you do pull it off. Like, if you see a group of guys and you're like, we should just take them out because where the zone is, if we can't get rid of them, we might be in some trouble with other people closing on us. So if you can, like, execute that kind of thing well, it just feels awesome. Like, and you can't really get that in any other game because of the nature of it being a battle royale game.
Yeah, so let me ask you about that specifically, because I, like we talked about in the last show, I've played it just a little bit, but I've only played it on the, like, everybody for themselves. I haven't done any kind of squad stuff yet. And so I'm curious if you've done just the kind of everybody for themselves mode. And for me, in that mode, my experience with it is it just feels random's not the right word, but, like, I don't ever have, like, a good sense of what I should be doing. Like, I'm just running around, like, trying to find stuff and not die, which I think would feel a lot better, like, if you had two or three other people with you that you're like trying to strategize and that kind of stuff. You could actually pull off some maneuvers with some other people. So have you played it just on your own? What's that experience like to you? Do you think it really needs to be played with other people and specifically people you know?
I can see how a lot of people might even prefer to play it on their own. And what you can do in PUBG is you can go in where everybody is playing by themselves, or you can go in as squads, or you can go in as a guy that's playing against squads, but you're on your own. So there's a lot of variety. I have played a number of times on my own. I've got in the top three on my own once, but I usually don't get that far on my own because I don't know, probably just not that good at the game is really what it is. So I'm not going to be able to just do it on my own. I mean, yeah, I don't like the game in that way. I like the game as a squad, as the squad experience for sure. So
yeah. And what I've seen mostly people playing it, it always feels like it's more people playing squad that I've seen online than playing it solo. I could be wrong about that, but that's just my sense of it, is it feels like it probably works a little bit better under those conditions. So
yeah, I think so.
To talk to people online and play with
yeah,
them.
That's not really my thing. So yeah.
And I do also, I want to mention another game real quick. I think it was Josh that brought it up in the year review roundtable, which was Ghost Recon Wildlands, because I bought that game when it came out and I barely played it because at the time it ran like crap. Like, and they put out an update and I tried again and it still would not run that great, 'cause I don't have the most high end PC. So if a game's not optimized that well, it's not going to run. Well, I tried it just a week ago or so again, and now it runs really great. So now I've actually been able to put more time into it. And I actually have to say, it's probably one of my favorite games to play on PC right now. Like, it's great. And I know they're not really the same game, maybe in a lot of ways, but to me, I kind of feel like it's a better Metal Gear 5, because it's kind of doing a lot of the things that Metal Gear Solid 5 does, but it has other features that make it better, and just the gameplay is better. And like,
yeah.
Since neither games really have story, like Metal Gear Solid 5, I don't think that game has much of a story like the other Metal Gear games do. So to me, it's like, since neither game is about story, then it's all about the gameplay, and the gameplay is just way better with Ghost Recon. So it's kind of just like, kind of scratch the itch that Metal Gear Solid 5 was going for, but it's better in my opinion. So anyway,
interesting.
Isn't Wildlands where they, you guys were talking about, they added those predators? Is that what was that? Uh-huh.
Yes, yeah. And I haven't played that yet. I want to try, you know, that.
James,
I think
Jamie,
that's only
for a limited time, right?
It's almost over.
Oh, okay.
I know I pointed this out to you, Jamie, but you know that they don't drool, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I caught that too, and I was really confused. I was like, unless I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure that's not the predator.
Yeah. Yeah. I just went along with it, so I'm as
you just hear Tommy like, yeah, drool. I gotcha, man. Sometimes you just gotta. No,
I totally bought it. Like, it's been so long since I'd seen it, I thought he was right, so I went right along with it. So we were in that together for sure.
And it would not be a Gaming Uncensored if I didn't say something that was completely totally off base.
That was pretty ridiculous.
That's part of the fun. For sure. So, Josh, what have you been playing?
Yeah, so as I said in sort of the pre-show discussion, I'm currently on vacation, summer vacation with my family, so my gaming options are a bit more limited. That said, I did bring my laptop with me, so over the summer sale, I picked up, Bridge Constructor Portal. So I've actually been playing a little bit of that the last week or so, and yeah, having a lot of fun with it. It's interesting. It's so for those that don't know, there was the original game called Bridge Constructor, which, as it sounds, you've got a gap, and you've got a certain number of parts. You have to construct a bridge and get cars across it. So in this iteration, they've combined it with Portal. And it almost feels like more of a Portal game than it does a Bridge Constructor game. It's got all of the Portal assets, the theme, they've absolutely nailed it. If they'd put it out and said it was made by Valve, I'd believe it. All of the the voicing assets and the sounds of the turret guns and everything's all spot on. And all of the Portal 2 mechanics are in it as well. So you've got the aerial faith plates and the different gels that make you bounce and speed up. And so I added that into the bridge constructor mix. So I've been quite enjoying that, actually. So that's probably the main gaming I've been doing the last couple of weeks.
I think I mentioned it on the last show, but I'll say it again. It's also out on mobile devices, and it's a blast. I've been playing it on my iPhone, and I just think it's cool. Really fun. It's random, and it's Portal, which is great. So,
yeah.
Great.
So, Josh, you say you're on vacation.
Yeah.
With your family? I'm curious. Is this your family, or how old are you? I don't think I know much about you.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'll out myself a little bit. So no, I'm 31.
This is like your family.
Yeah, my family. Okay. I've got my wife and I've now a 7-month old baby, so
that's what I thought I remembered, but like kind of the way it sounded was like, yeah, man, I'm with my parents, and I was like, how old? Yeah. We're on summer vacation. That's just not something in the States. My kids are off on summer vacation and just bug the shit out of me. You know, we don't really get summer vacation.
Right. Okay. Well, look, I've taken some extra leave from my job. So, and it's summer here. So yeah, it's time to do that sort of stuff.
I see my kids enough. I don't need to take a vacation with them.
So I'm at Chad, ladies and gentlemen. So talk to us about South Park, Chad.
I've been playing a lot of games. Well, not a lot, but I played since we last spoke Mario Odyssey and some other stuff. And the big ones I got onto was the Wolfenstein franchise. I played Wolfenstein 1 and 2. And Wolfenstein 2 is got to be my number 2 or number 3 favorite game of last year. It was so good and so much fun. And they capitalized on everything that was really fun about the first one and didn't overdo it like a lot of second games do, but enhanced it. Like, the gameplay is still really fun. It looks a ton better, but they took kind of that pulpy action moviness of it and that kind of semi heist mentality. I it's so hard for me to explain, but you know, when you're watching a movie and they're doing this setup for a heist or for something they're going to do, and you get the dun, 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 you know, and just kind of that old school 70s style. And they did that really, really well. And it was a lot of fun. I loved Wolfenstein 2. I love the hell out of that game. I can't wait for those characters to do more stuff. It was great.
That's awesome. Then, that's one I'm really pumped about, so I'm glad to hear you enjoyed it so much.
It's okay. One of the things that I was having difficulty with is it's really hard. I mean, it's really, really hard. And I don't like to get killed 6 or 7 times and make no progression, or 10 times and make no progression. I mean, that's not why I play games. I play games to get through something and have fun in a story and do everything. And so I kind of put down the first one a little while, but then I was listening to some other podcasts and actually a whole group of guys talking about it. And they said, oh yeah, I had nothing but issues with it. So I set the mode down to easy and just loved the hell out of it after that point. So I did that, you know, and kind of gave away my man card to play that game. Yeah. But you know what? I was back to enjoying the game, which is why I spent money to do it. I didn't spend money to just get brutally murdered over the most ridiculous stuff. I spent money to enjoy an entertainment thing. And once 100%. Once I lowered it and I was able to enjoy the story and everything, and you know, Father of the Year, my kids watched me for the most part kill Nazis. thousands and thousands of Nazis. I probably should have rethought that when my 5-year-old said, Dad, I'd stab that Nazi in the privates with something sharp.
Oh my God. You're raising little SJWs.
Little monsters. I really liked it. You know, it's just so good. And the second one is infinitely better than the first one. The first one was really, really good. But I did get the Stick of Truth and the butthole one for free.
Butthole
And I started off with the Stick of Truth. I've heard that the other one's about superheroes, so I'm like, super. But I was told that it's in succession, that you really should play them in succession. And I'm really enjoying, I don't like RPGs, but I'm really enjoying it. Like, and again, my kids are watching me for the most part, but it's
totally
inappropriate. It's really, really inappropriate. Like, there's times where I have to tell them to leave the room. Even I have to tell them. Okay, what do you have to understand? Like, for me as a parent, like, I have three kids, and for me as a parent, what's most important to me is that my kids are good students and that they're good people. But things like swearing and stuff, I don't care. You know, I was texting with my daughter earlier, and I think I threw in an F word with one of the my 12-year-old. But you know, and I even pulled her aside. I would go, you know, she's an honor student and all that stuff. I was like, if you're around me and you throw a fuck out here and there, like, I don't care. Like, that's the kind of parent I am. Like, what I care is about the kind of person that you are to the world, not like if you swear, you know, or what you consume. But I don't let them consume any sexual stuff. Like, I don't, we don't do that. But violence and swearing, like, who cares? You know, if it started to affect them and they started to come home from school. But like my 7-year-old, we went for the parent teacher conference. Oh my God, she's my best citizen. She helps with all of this and she's always helping the other students. That's what I want to hear. You know, I mean, and as soon as that changes, then maybe I'm doing something wrong.
This is the
God bless you, man.
With Ted. Yeah.
Hey. It's so, great. But yeah, the South Park, like, there's the anal probing and stuff, I had to ask them to leave. I was like, what the fuck is it? Even I felt uncomfortable. Because I started to think, like, aren't these characters... That was... Okay, let me ask... Who's played it? The Stick of Truth.
I have not.
Nobody? Either. So, you get abducted by aliens, like, fairly early on, like, the second level or whatever it is. And it, they're anal probing everybody. And you're playing as a little kid... And it starts showing them fuck this little kid in the ass. Like, that I kind of had a problem with. I was like,
yeah, that's what people tend to have a problem with South Park. So,
like yeah. That's still depicting a child. Like, it was really weird. Like, that to me, I was like, oh.
That's not out of the game. There's a conversation to be had there for sure.
If I haven't played the game, but I know there was a lot of discussion about that exact part of the game, because when it was originally released, the Australian government refused classification, which means that they weren't allowed to sell it in Australia because of that scene. And so to get around that, when you play the Australian edition of the game, when that scene appears, it's like a koala appears on the screen and says, sorry, your government said we're not allowed to show you this scene. Like,
but it's depicting a child and then basically...
Well, yeah.
Raping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no comments one way or the other, but that it was a wrong thing to do. But it just reminded me. Yeah,
it does shock you that that's a lot. Like,
fan of South Park, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch it or anything, and the humor is kind of fun, but the RPG element and everything, I actually really like it, and for the most part, it's funny and it's a cool game. But yeah, I couldn't believe that was allowed to be in the game.
All I have to say about that is, Denny!
Are you drunk?
What the hell?
What's going on?
You ever heard Timmy from South Park?
No.
Yeah, that's not what it sounds like. Timmy!
Yeah, that was like... All of the, like, South Park catchphrases were like a big deal when I was in high school. Like, South Park's been around forever. It's like ridiculous.
Years now, right?
Yeah, it's nuts because it's been a long time, 20 years about, since I've been in high school. So
yeah, dude, I remember the last time I watched South Park was with my buddy, and I was thinking about it. It was in an apartment that I haven't lived in. In my apartment, I haven't lived in for like 20 years.
That's
the last time I actually watched it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure we're going to go to what Jamie's playing next. So, Jamie, what game from the year 2003 have you been playing this
week? It's really funny that you bring that up, Chad. Thank you very much.
You've been playing the original Splinter Cell? Like, let me get all the pins in. Like,
I talked about it on the
PS1 version?
I'm just going to take a breath. I'm going to take a breath.
Take a breath? You're going to take a pass?
I'm taking a breath, Chad.
Okay. You okay?
Chad, shut up, dude. Just shut up. I talked about it on the last show. I've actually been playing O Game, which is a little newer than 2003, but not much.
O Game, like the browser spaceship?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Yes, wow. That's not that much newer than 2003.
Yeah, that's what I said. I played it several times and got built stuff up and completely got wiped out, and then I rage quit. And I recently came back to it, and I've been playing that for a couple weeks, and it is majorly addicting. I really like it. I'm going to do a Patreon video about it. But that's mostly what I've been playing, because I realized that I can play that wherever I'm at. Like, I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I've been playing that at work, because it's a browser-based game and it's not something that takes a whole lot of your attention throughout the day. So it's been really nice to have something to play all the time.
How you doing on Max Payne, buddy? You doing good?
I'm struggling with Max. Thank you very much. But every time we
talk, that was the most maniacal laugh I've ever heard in my life.
Every time we talk about Max, I've gotten a little farther. And maybe by the year 2025, I may beat Max Payne. Oh, the other thing I wanted to tell you guys was that Avery was at my house over Christmas break. And Avery is my 13-year-old niece that likes the game. She plays Minecraft and Portal. And she was really excited because she finally got to actually purchase the full Portal game, which she had just been playing the demo. She was excited to play it. And so I downloaded it, and then she got distracted by clothes over Christmas. So that's how you know you're dealing with a 13-year-old. They're easily distractible. But yeah, that's what I've been doing.
That's awesome. I told you I was going to fire up O-Game, and then it slipped my mind. And so now I'm going to make a point today to do that, because I signed up and haven't done anything else, and I told you I would. So I'm going to do that.
Now, I will tell you this, like, it's completely browser-based. There's not a lot to it. But it is totally addicting. So
I forgot, what's the name of the universe?
Oberon, I believe it is.
Oberon. Yep, that's correct. Oberon. So if you want to hang out on O Game with Jamie and maybe me at some point if I get my stuff together.
Jamie,
Oberon.
Jamie,
universe.
Do you ever put on your O face while you're playing the O Game?
Chad, you're really getting close, buddy.
This guy never runs out, does he?
So I'll mention a couple of things really quick, because the games I've been playing are slightly newer than Jamie's games, but not a ton. So I've been playing Horizon. I finally got back into Horizon.
Oh, I'm so excited about that! Glad you're back.
It's all there waiting for you. So it's fun. Dinosaurs are cool. Robot dinosaurs are even better. So yeah, that game's great. And I've also been playing a lot of Rocket League on Switch. I love Rocket League anyway. It's just a fun game, but it works really well on the Switch, especially in kind of the portable mode. And so I've been sitting on my couch playing a lot of Rocket League and can take it with me, and it's great. And it feels like Rocket League. I was really worried that it was going to not play as well, but for me it feels the same. And so even network wise and everything's been really good on that. So I highly recommend that. I have that on three different consoles. I have it on PC, I have it on PS4, and now I have it on Switch. I think I've only actually paid for it once. on the Switch. Got it for free as a PlayStation Plus game. By the way, Mankind Divided is the free PlayStation, one of the free PlayStation Plus games for
Everybody
January.
Everybody needs to go awesome. Get it. That's wow. the other one that I've been playing. So
yeah, I knew you've yeah. been playing a lot of that. So hey, that one's more recent. Good job.
Yes.
It's free for PlayStation Plus members this month, which is awesome.
Kevin, so, yeah, jump in there, because I know you just finished it. Jump in there and tell
well,
people how awesome it is.
It is, but if you have a PC, I'm sorry, you should play it there. It's just, it's one of those games where if you have a PC that can run it, you got to play it on PC. But if you don't and you have a PS4 and you have PS Plus, absolutely go get it for free. I mean, it'll still be a good game, but...
What's yeah. your rationale for playing it on PC versus console?
Because it just plays so well,
it's
and for me, I guess my bottom line with games, especially if it's a first-person game that you can really take advantage of really fast, quick movement with a mouse and stuff, if it's on PC and you can run it there and it is built well for the PC, like meaning the controls actually feel like they tried, sure. You should always play it there first.
Now,
I mean, it's absolutely...
Cabbage. Would you played a ton of it, so I'm going to ask you, because I said on the show that it was very handicap friendly. Can you see that? Did you play it with mouse and keyboard, or did you play it with a controller?
No, did you just hear what I said?
He wasn't listening.
I play with a mouse and keyboard, absolutely. Yeah. And yes, I can see what you mean by that, absolutely, because the game, all the environments are set up to where you can tackle them so differently, to where if you wanted to go complete stealth, if you didn't want to have any combat or whatever, you could do it. You can always do it. Like, I think even better than Human Revolution, it gives you so many random options, and if you really think about how to use a lot of the tools in the game too, you can just do some really funky, you can come up with some really funky solutions to problems, is what I'd say.
Tommy, because are just, you hearing this? You gotta play it.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely gonna play it, but I'm gonna play it on the PlayStation 4 because I don't want to pay for it.
Oh, man, I'm in the same position. You just got me torn now, Cabbage. I'm like, I've got a PS4 with PS Plus, so I can get it for free, but then I'd really want to play it on PC. Do I want to pay for it or not?
I would just get it on PlayStation, and then if you like it enough, then yeah, get it on a Steam sale on PC.
I have a feeling I'll try and buy it for PC, because I went through a similar thing with, I found what you said, with the difference between console and PC, I found with Dishonored. I played it through on PC and loved it. And then I got it for free on PS4, and I was thinking about getting Dishonored 2 on PS4, and I hated it. The control scheme just completely ruined it for me.
It's really bad on console. It's just, there's so many things that are so frustrating on a console that the second you give yourself a mouse and a keyboard, really it's the mouse. I mean, that's really what it is. Second you get a mouse, you can just fly through the environment. You can use the grapple ability to go up there and do this and that. Like on console, you're constantly just like... And obviously there's people that are probably just way better with their thumb on the joysticks, but I'm just not. I'm really bad at shooters on consoles, but on PC I'm decent. So anything that's first person or whatever, I just always prefer a mouse.
The other thing about getting Mankind Divided on PC... is if you can get it in a package with the first game, that's awesome, because the first game's good too.
That seems fair. So let's wrap up with a little Star Wars discussion here. So first of all, has everybody seen Star Wars?
Yes, they.
I haven't, but I'm not worried about spoilers. So talk away.
Okay.
Well, I'm not spoiling it for you. I'm not gonna do that. I'll talk general.
Yeah, we'll do a general spoiler alert right here, because we probably will spoil stuff in this conversation. I would guess it'll happen. So
I just don't want to ruin it for anybody. But
yeah, that's good of you. But let's be honest. So, Cabbage, you said something that shocked me about this Star Wars film. So I want to hear your thoughts on this first.
What was it that was shocking?
That it's your favorite Star Wars movie out of all of them.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, it is, because I mean, it's a lot to unpack, and I'll try to keep it brief. But I mean, basically, I went in with high expectations, and they were completely blown away, even with high expectations, because I mean, there are so many moments the first time you're watching the movie that are so surprising and shocking. And I never thought that a Star Wars movie would be saying the things that this movie says. I mean, it says some very profound, meaningful things about it's multi-layered. It's like it's a commentary on Star Wars as a franchise, like literally as a movie franchise. It's a commentary on characters and themes within the story. It's a commentary on fan culture, although I think that wasn't on purpose. I think that was a little unintentional from Rian Johnson's perspective. It's just brilliantly talking about how we need to honor things that were good before and did work before, but sometimes those things don't always work, so we need to move on from those things. And your expectations of, that's obviously how this is going to go, are broken with this movie in multiple ways. It's just brilliant. I mean, so we're spoiling it, right? Is that what we're doing? Or are we just
go ahead.
To say that? Okay. Yep. Well, the Snoke moment is that whole scene. The whole throne room scene is my favorite scene in all of Star Wars, because when that happens, and somebody worded this perfectly, and I'm not going to be able to credit who said it, and it's not me that said it, but the second that happens to Snoke, it's like possibility spilled out from his cauterized guts, was how somebody worded it. That's how it felt like, because you had no idea what was going to happen, and you knew exactly what was going to happen while you were watching Force Awakens, basically. You know, that movie was very much New Hope, even though I really liked the movie. It was very obvious, safe movie, and this movie, everybody assumed was going to be Empire, and sure, it is kind of, but it also definitely isn't. Like, there are very key things it does that say, we are not going to do what you thought. And they even kept saying it. They kept hammering home that line in the trailer where Luke says, this isn't going to go how you think. And it's true. The movie went completely different in many ways than I thought it would. So I have problems with it, and I don't know how deep we're going to go with this, but overall, it was just thrilling and great. And I love the fact, I can't believe people say that they don't like, that they don't know what's going to happen with the next movie. That's awesome. I have no idea what's going to happen in the next movie, because this movie didn't try to make it obvious. It is completely out in the open now, and that's what's great.
Lightsaber through the cranium was awesome.
Oh, God, that whole scene. I'm sorry. I know people get annoyed by this in theaters, but I was clapping and cheering in that freaking scene. So many
it was a good scene.
Are just so awesome, and you don't know what's going to happen between those characters. You have no idea. The first time watching that is one of my most favorite moments watching a movie in a theater ever. It was just incredible.
Well,
yeah, I would
go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say I agree with that throne room scene being one of the better Star Wars moments overall, franchise wide. It's just really, really fun.
I thought it was amazing that we watched it in IMAX theater, and I hate to admit it, but like I'm like sort of mouthing to Tommy the whole way through, because it's like it's Star Wars. We're there. We're having fun. I'm making snarky comments all the way through, like Mystery Science Theater 3000. But it just, when you got to that scene in a few other places, and I talked about this on the Patreon video, it just made me want to jump up and cheer. Yes, I said it. Guy in a wheelchair whose legs don't work. If I could have jumped up and cheered, I would have. Because it was that good.
Yeah, I'll mention just one other scene I loved was the battle on Crait with the sand planet with the red soil underneath. Just the cinematography of that was awesome. Like, it's just one of the prettiest scenes I've seen in a movie. And so, yeah. Chad, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was good. You know, it had its issues, but all the movies do. I think the biggest problem with Star Wars is it came around in a time where we had nothing like it. So it sits in this place of magic and nostalgia. Whereas if Star Wars: A New Hope came out today, I think it would be kind of a ho-hum, so-so movie. I mean, for like, I try and show it to my kids, I'm like, this is boring, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, no, this is amazing. But we're looking through it through different lenses. lenses. So, I mean, honestly, if Star Wars A New Hope was released today, all the fanboys and fangirls would rip it to shreds as being complete garbage.
If Empire was released today, they'd be trashing on it just like they are with Last Jedi.
I
don't know. Jedi.
I think Empire's kind of in that special place. Honestly, I mean, Empire is a special movie. It's really good. It's got a lot of great action. It's wonderful. It's got the big twist. Empire, I think, even released today would do well. But this, I think they finally went for something a little new, or a little different, where that we didn't get with the Force Awakens. I mean, the Force Awakens was the New Hope, you know, and it was what J.J. Abrams has been doing for the past, 7-8 years now, where he just goes to a beloved franchise and retells the story and slaps his J.J. Abrams Bad Robot logo on it and goes, look at me, I'm brilliant. Like, I mean, since J.J. Abrams did Lost and Alias and actually good shows and pieces of television, he doesn't anymore. I think you can see that a lot in what Rian Johnson did, and I've listened to quite a few commentaries on this, but Rian Johnson took a lot of the J.J. Abrams tropes and a lot of J.J. Abrams' lazy story writing and really stuck it to him, where J.J. Abrams relied on this Snoke, who was the Emperor. I mean, he just retold the same story. Snoke was the Emperor, and several other different plot points. And Rian Johnson said, oh, you want the Emperor? I'm going to fucking kill him.
God, it was awesome.
And now you deal with it in 9, because I know you set it up to be the same thing. I think a lot of people see how lazy J.J. Abrams is with this stuff, but a lot of studios pick him up because they know that he'll make something safe. You know, they'll know that he'll make a spectacle. That's basically like junk food that will make some money, and he's not going to be controversial. But Rian Johnson took a lot of those tropes that J.J. Abrams put out and just flushed them down the toilet and left him. I mean, he. Spoilers, he killed Luke. And I think that was, I'm pretty sure that was the intention all along, was for them to kill off the main characters, or at least the main two or three, so that we're not handcuffed with them, or so that Disney's not handcuffed with them going forward. But you could pay homage to the original characters and kill off Han and kill off Luke and then kill off Leia, you know, and whatever succession they were, but have new characters that are fleshed out, and to move forward into several more movies. But yeah, J.J. Abrams is trash. I think that's what I said.
I probably wouldn't be that rough, but I get what you're saying about him. I agree with most of what you're saying about him. And I will say there's a little bit of a worry with 9 because he's writing and directing, but I think because of what 8 set in motion, and I'm just hoping that Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm are going to stick with what episode 8 says. Then I think
they set it up so that he couldn't be as lazy as he normally is.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what he did with Star Trek Into Darkness. It's the same thing. If you really look at those two things, Star Trek Into Darkness and Force Awakens, he just took two of those properties' most beloved stories and mixed them up and was like, ha ha, J.J. Abrams, Bad Robot, and shit all over it. Like, it was so weird, like watching the whole Wrath of Khan retold and badly retold, and just little plot points shifted around, and like, I'm J.J. Abrams, I'm brilliant. Like, shut the fuck up. No, you're not. Like, I mean, you had some brilliant moments, and now you're just resting on your laurel.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I guess I don't feel that strongly, but I do. Yeah. I know what you mean. I do.
If I were to be into any, like, I love Star Wars, but I love fucking Star Trek. Like, I love Star Trek like nobody's
business. Well, there you go.
I'm not a Trekkie. I don't get. I'm like, I don't think that I'm living on the Enterprise or whatever. But I love Star Trek.
Okay. Well,
I don't speak Klingon.
Bitter soul.
James, right. Was that Klingon? I think that was Klingon. All that being said, right? You know what I'm saying?
All that being said, yeah. Great. Josh,
can we name this episode Fuck J.J. Abrams?
Yes.
Okay. Any thoughts you have, Josh? I know you haven't seen the movie, but give you an opportunity to jump in here with anything you want.
Yeah. Look, no, I used to be the one of the biggest Star Wars fans ever, but I'd consume everything after the movies, books, games, everything. But I was sort of, I like Star Wars in spite of the movies. Most people agree they're not, they're not high theater, the Star Wars films, but after when The Force Awakens was announced and Disney bought Lucasfilm, it sort of put me off a little bit. I agree with everything that Chad said about J.J. Abrams, and that really put me off The Force Awakens as well, seeing what he did with Star Trek especially. I'm glad that people are enjoying the movies. I've sort of taken a little bit of a back seat to the movies and just I'll leave it at that for now.
Fair enough. Yeah. I think you'll enjoy The Last Jedi.
To be fair, I saw Rogue One and quite enjoyed that actually. So
oh, it's great. That was a fun Rogue movie. One. Rogue One was a great Star Wars story. It was a great original Star Wars story.
Yeah.
It was. It was great. Both of those, Rogue One and The Last Jedi, are both pretty dark, and I think Star Wars does dark well.
Well, and here's what's funny: Last Jedi is dark. But because it's Rian Johnson, there's also a lot of humor. And apparently, I don't even want to get into all the people that hate the movie. I could write a novel on how much I've written online defending this freaking movie. So I don't even want to.
I think that's dumb. But you got to admit, there were some
there's problems.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, well, definitely some humor that got a little long in the tooth.
Well,
like,
sure.
Like at the very beginning with Poe Dameron. And
I loved
and
that.
He called, yes, but he calls in and he goes, I'm holding for the general. Okay, this is the general. Are you there? And it was funny for like 5 seconds and it went on for 30, you know?
Well, you know why it went on for 30? Because he was stalling.
I get that. But you can communicate that a little better than they did. There were some moments like that where he gave it time to wear on fans' nerves, whereas it could have been funny. There was a lot of moments that were really funny. I mean, I thought the whole brushing off of his shoulder, I thought that was funny. A lot of people would piss him off.
There's a couple parts that have some humor to it that I could have done without, but I mean, overall, I think a lot of the humor did work, but it kind of worked within the moment. But then you'd go straight back to like a darker scene, and I at least felt completely at home. It didn't feel like it broke the tone or anything. And I guess here's what it is. A lot of people watch movies very differently. That's what this movie, more than anything, has told me. Like, people watch movies differently from each other. When I watch the old Star Wars movies, I'm laughing a lot.
It's with your pants down.
Yes, that too. But I'm laughing a lot, and it's not because I'm laughing at the movie being bad, and I'm also not even laughing at stuff that I think was supposed to be funny. I just find the movies really fun and funny, but I also still take a lot of it seriously. And I don't know how to completely describe that, I guess, but like, to me, Star Wars has always been really funny, but when you do it the right way...
I don't disagree. There's a lot of good humor in it.
Yeah. But like, the prequels, the humor in the prequels is just terrible. Like, literally, it's Jar Jar stepping in poop. Like, that's the humor. But the original movies, the original trilogy, had so much just sort of like character stuff that was funny between Han, especially. Han's probably the most funny character in the original movies. And it felt natural, and it didn't feel like I'm laughing at the movie like it does with the prequels, where I'm like, this is just dumb, and I don't like it. And so I think that these new movies are doing a good job of capturing that. Not Rogue One, because Rogue One's really dark and serious, which it pretty much needs to be. It has a little humor, but it's mostly serious.
I mean,
the droid in Rogue One is really hilarious.
Yeah.
But if you think about the humor that we remember in the original Star Wars trilogy, it is bit pieces. It's not those long drawn out, but we remember Laugh It Up Fuzzball. I mean, it's these moments that are memorable 40 years later, but that's what I mean. The humor fit because it was said, it wasn't drawn out. It didn't beat you over the head. And that's why there was a lot of good moments in the new one where it didn't beat you over the head, but yeah, there were some drawn out ones. I don't know. I liked what they did, you know, with a lot of it. I think people like to be mad about a lot of things. I mean, yeah.
Well, it's just a lot of the complaints you see are just funny to me. Somebody did a funny little thing where it was like, hey, this is what somebody on Twitter would have written in 1980 with Empire. And it's so true. It's like, oh, well, Leia at the end senses Luke with the Force. Well, we didn't establish her as a Force user. You can't do that. You're breaking the rules. And, well, Lando's just there as a token black guy. It's just SJWs. It's like they would have said the same stuff. If you put today's culture and environment in 1980 and if you had Twitter or whatever, I bet people would have said the exact same stuff about that movie. It's just
let's be honest, that Leia Force flight was one of the worst things ever.
It looks bad.
Let's be honest about that. It looks terrible.
They should have done it differently.
Oh my god! It looks like she was on strings and they were just on a rail.
I would agree. That's one of the problems, is that should have been shot differently. That's kind of a lot of my problems with the movie is that kind of stuff. I think some things could have been done a little differently, or maybe a line that throws in that explains something. Like the whole Canto Blight stuff, I think is, I get what he's trying to do with it, but there's just a lot of problems there. Like, it's very convenient. Like, they couldn't have even had a throwaway line that explains why they just happened to also be they got put into a jail cell with a guy that is the same kind of person they were going there to find that they failed in getting to. So they just happened to find another guy that can do that. Like, they couldn't even have a throwaway line that explains something with that.
Star Wars has always been like that, though, because it's about the Force is pushing them in the directions that it wants.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Way into it, but I agree, you know, it's always been them tripping over, you know, these very random things. You know, it starts off with two droids landing on a planet that just, you know, and finding the son of the guy that they're running from, you know, who knows the. Oh, I mean, it's all about coincidences like that.
And I know, I agree with that, but it's still just kind of like it's one of those things where the movie seems very thoughtful. The writing things seems very thoughtful through most of the movie. So when random little details like that kind of seem glossed over, it's just strange.
Yeah.
But again, I'm saying this about easily my favorite Star Wars movie. Like, it's definitely my favorite so far. Yeah. So,
sweet.
All that being said. Thank you, Chad. Thank you guys for being here. We need to wrap up. But it was a good
chop, chop, bitches.
Good conversation. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your contributions to the show. We appreciate it, as you guys know, but we continue to appreciate it. So we will be back in a month or so with another roundtable and sometime before then, we promise, with a regular episode. We will definitely get another one in soonish. So be looking forward to that. Anything else before we wrap up? Anybody?
I just want to say that I've been playing Peggle this whole time in honor of Johnny.
Yeah! That's my favorite. That makes me so happy.
That's gold.
Well, I appreciate that.
Gold.
That's great. All right, so for another month, this is the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable, and we are out.
Brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.